AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Frank McGarvey shoots.
Derek Johnston.
A marvellous goal by Celtic.
Rangers pressure pays off.
The Dutton army go crazy.
Glorious goal.
Glasgow in the West's league leader for 50 years.
I'm asked to give an opinion and I like to give an honest one.
This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
To Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get ready for the proper festive fixtures across the Scottish leagues. Brendan Rodgers says he's out to keep his main players rather than lose them, as Matt O'Reilly's linked to Inter Milan. Philippe Clement might be after some fit players for Christmas, with the news John Lundstrom and Kemar Roofe are out this weekend. And Nick Montgomery is to be mic'd up for the Edinburgh Derby TV coverage next week. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me this evening you have Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans.
Listen to that music in the background there.
Oh, does that take you back?
Back to 1985 when I first darkened your doorstep. Anyway, here's a treble Celtic don't want this weekend. 2 weeks ago, they lost to Kilmarnock. Last week, they lost to Hearts. The last thing in this world they need is to slip up against Livy at Celtic Park tomorrow, because the league title is back in the balance. And we're at the stage now where if Celtic slip up on a Saturday, Rangers on the Sunday, and they're at Fir Park this Sunday, could go top of the table. Tightening up, Kenny.
It absolutely is. And again, you know, it's great for our game. I don't think we've had a real kind of tight title race for a long, long time. So it's good to see. And obviously, for a Celtic fan's perspective, not so good losing those two games. Really, really poor performance, I thought, last week at home against Hearts. But a real chance tomorrow to bounce back and put a little bit of pressure back onto Rangers going to Fir Park on Sunday.
0141 951 1025. Let's hear what you've got to say for yourself. It is your final midweek Clyde One Super Scoreboard before the big man comes down the chimney. And no, I'm not talking about Gordon DL. He much prefers to use the back door anyway, I'm sure. But 0141 951 1025, that's the number you need. Give us your thoughts tonight, Celtic fans. Are you fearful of losing Matt O'Reilly in January? He's been linked to Inter Milan. Not a bad place to play your football, I'm sure. Can you hold on to him? Do you have any concerns about that? Rangers fans, we have asked about 55, 57, 65, 84 times about the injuries this season. I've lost count. John Lundstrom, Kemar Roofe, how do you replace them this weekend? Are you worried they're going to miss the Celtic game and so on? Get your calls in on that. Nick Montgomery to be mic'd up. What do you make of that? A bit of a forward thinking on the TV coverage. Is that something you're looking forward to seeing? Would you like your manager to do it? Or would you rather just watch on as someone else's does it? 0141 951 1025, and you can speak to Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller. I have been looking forward particularly to tonight, Hugh, because I've loved every night this week having the old school retro original Clyde One Super Scoreboard theme tune playing. Is of course to mark this radio station's 50th birthday, which is on Hogmanay. Yep. And all the pundits have enjoyed it, and there's been great feedback. But I knew that this is you. This was your theme tune. You would appreciate it more than anyone.
This has been my week for retro, and the memories have come flooding back because I've been with George Bowie every morning doing the breakfast sports desk.
What time's the Nokia alarm set for that?
6 o'clock. And in I go, Kenny. 27 years ago, Bowie and me started doing the breakfast sport, and I've been back all week with him, and it's been an absolute treat, a pleasure. And good stories along the week as well, because, you know, you had Philippe Clement talking about John Lundstrom being kicked off the park. You had the controversy this morning where a pundit suggested that Brendan Rodgers was going through the motions as Celtic manager. So it was just like old times. And even Lorraine Heberson came back and read the news this morning. It was just having Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton together again.
Wow, what a comparison that is. We're looking forward to the weekend. 01419511025. That's the number you need. You can tweet us at Clyde SSB. As I said, many, many headlines for you today. Both Brendan Rodgers and Philippe Clement have been on their media duties, so that usually means talking points. Matt O'Reilly linked with a move to Inter Milan. Celtic fans, are you fearful of losing him? Do you think you can hang on there? How important is it? I mean, that's like the most ridiculous question I'll ask all night, hopefully. How important is it to get back to winning ways given those two defeats in the last two games? The Green Brigade are back in as well, by all accounts. So what are your thoughts there? And on the other side of the City, Rangers fans, your latest feelings on the injury situation, please. How worried are you that it does catch up with you, or is it just yet again a chance for Dujon Sterling or Kieran Dowell or whoever else to come in and keep that good run going under Philippe Clement? And things you never thought you would debate on Clyde One Super Scoreboard: are you in favour of managers being mic'd up for TV coverage? 0141 951 1025. Every game's a big game here, Kenny. We can't, you know, no game's ever insignificant, but you particularly look at the way this next sort of seven days is going to play out, 7 to 10 days, you know, before the winter break.
Yeah, well, I think particularly the top, with the turn it has taken over the last kind of couple of weeks with Celtic having those losses and dropped points, it just gives the top league a real competitive edge. I mean, Rangers have got 4 games to play still before that split. Obviously, they'll get their game in hand there on Wednesday night, so they've got themselves back in it. Again, I'll still state I'm still sure Philippe Clement will want improvements and reinforcements in January. I don't think they're playing real scintillating stuff, but they're finding a way to win. They've found a real consistency within the results. There seems to be a real good feeling about the place that I think Philippe Clement's brought. And then you look across the other side of the City, I think the opposite could be said. I don't think Brendan Rodgers, as much as he's a top manager, I just don't think he's getting the same response or having the same impact as what he previously had. So it's all we play for. And again, I can't take my eye off the 30th of December in that game at Celtic Park.
No coincidence the Green Brigade have been invited back in the front door, because Celtic will need the atmosphere tomorrow. The atmosphere will be difficult to begin with, because the fans are blaming Brendan Rodgers, if this programme is any indication, and it normally is, of the public's opinion. The Celtic fans are blaming Brendan Rodgers. They are not convinced that this is a recent phenomenon, that two defeats against Kilmarnock and Hearts formulates the beginning and the end of the story. The Celtic fans haven't been pleased with the way the team has been playing since the start of the season. Even the first game, 4-2 against Ross County, fans weren't happy with that. Tomorrow, they're playing a team who haven't won a match since the 7th of October, who have gone into a downward spiral, and who simply cannot score goals. I think 2 goals in their last 10 games for Livingston. It ought to be a comfortable win for Celtic. Will it be?
01419511025. That's the number John in Blantyre has dialed. How's it going, John?
Hi there, fine. Thanks for taking my call.
Our pleasure, John. It's a big old weekend for Celtic, this, isn't it?
I think there's something far wrong at Celtic. I can't actually remember them dropping as many points in such a short space of time. And Brendan's, I don't think they're playing for him. And I think when you publicly start selecting your players, I think that's the end. I don't think there's any way back for you, because I just don't think they're playing for him. And he's got to take a lot of, because he's playing Puel far too deep now. A guy that scored that many goals, if it's still broke, you don't try and fix it. And he's a shadow of the player he was last year. And I just don't think the players are playing for him. And as I say, when this day and age, when you start publicly criticising your players, That never goes well. So I think Brendan's time's nearly up.
I don't think you can take away from a manager having a go at his players. If you consider when it first happened, John, it was at Perth. Celtic had an appalling first 45 minutes against St Johnstone. The manager apparently went into the dressing room and told them they were being bullied and that they lacked the physicality for the game and they were soft. And they came out and they scored three terrific goals. So that was the power, the immediate power of having put the players in their places. So I do not deny any manager of any club the right to do that kind of thing. But there is no doubt that the fans were invigorated by the Ange Postecoglou style. It has changed and they are no longer invigorated by what they see.
What bit of it has been slating the players, John? What bit do you think is over the top or that the players won't react to?
Well, I just don't think that. You know, the slight new with players, the power on the players is snowing years ago. And I think these players just spit the dumb out and they just say, well, look at what's happening with Mourinho. Ah, damn it. Somebody his stature, players in the clubs he went to. And the football's garbage. It's play it wide, pass it back, pass it forward, 3-4 wee touches, back the way, cross the park. It's just, there's got to be some reason. You can't go for it. The players aren't all of a sudden bad players. They're low because they were great last year. But it's just, I can't remember Celtic dropping that many points in that short of time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, Kenny, I get the logic, obviously. Eventually there can be things that players won't take too well to. I just wonder if Brendan Rodgers is close to that line or not. It's not quite... Morecambe are 100 times better than you yet, I don't think. Is it, or is there anything in there that you think has been overly critical?
No, I think that, again, I'm a wee bit more for that older school type mentality where if you're not doing your job properly, then you need to be told. You know, otherwise, you'll continually do it badly if you think you're getting away with something. So I just think, I would be very surprised if Celtic were talking about making a change to Bonishway and moving Brendan on. That wouldn't be for me. What I would say is, John's bang on. These are no bad players. You know, so there's something no happening at this moment in time. They're not responding to whether it be the manager or have they got bored? Like, this is another thing I've talked about in the show before. When players go to Rangers and Celtic, sometimes the novelty wears off of playing in front of the 60,000 and playing in the big games and having to go away to Ross County and play on plastic pitches just doesn't sit right with them. So I think there's a lot of things that it could be. The bottom line is, again, to go back to what John says, that this is not a bad group of players. And I said this when Michael Beale left Rangers. Players, and these Celtic players at this moment in time, are not bad players. They need to be taking a responsibility for what they're doing when they cross that white line. Because at the moment, it's results. But you talk about bully Tuesday's bully at St Johnstone. Well, I think you could throw that into the second half at Kilmarnock as well. Absolutely bullied and lost a game where they've taken the lead. Last week, they didn't even look like scoring. You know, they could have been playing now and I don't think they look like scoring. Not to a level that a Celtic team at Celtic Park should be in terms of the chances and the attacking football they want to be seeing. So, I'd be surprised if Brendan's on any kind of brink, but they need to get back to winning ways tomorrow. And I think they will.
What's going on at Celtic will be crystallised over the next 8 days. Livingston, it couldn't possibly happen. Could it? Then Dundee away. That will be an extremely difficult fixture for Brendan Rodgers and his players. And then, of course, we get to the big picture. December 30, 12:30, Celtic versus Rangers. The next 8 days will tell you whether or not Celtic are in a bit of bother.
A headline I didn't expect to see today, John, not because he's not a good player, just because sometimes these things come out the blue a bit. Speculation linking Matt O'Riley with Inter Milan. He has clearly been one of the standouts in the league this season. Does that worry you that January could be a difficult window to keep hold of him?
Well, I think some of the Celtic fans are just saying that there's another player that will go for 20-odd million and they'll respend the money. So it's 40 million. He's a great player. 40 million from them, they'll spend it anyway. So I'll just see all that money in the bank and desperately, a striker should have been signed. Aliko, he's got a lot of potential. He's only young. You shouldn't be playing him. If you're taking him off and you're playing him, you need a striker that's a proven striker, that are experienced and they're prime. And then you can bring along, you can start him, maybe start Kyogo, bring along, because he's only a young boy, you know what I mean? So, and as I say, Eller, Kyogo's just a shadow of himself. And I don't know if it's... They love Dange and they're not too happy with Brendan, So it's and you're dreading every game now. I mean, so, you're just thinking to yourself,
John, it's nearly Christmas. Cheer up. You're even getting me down, John, I must admit. Well, funnily enough, you're talking about bringing players in rather than losing any. That's exactly what Brendan Rodgers had to say when he was asked about that Matt O'Reilly speculation today.
No, I don't have any fear on any of the players. I think it's one. I'm delighted for Matt that he's made a fantastic step forward this season as a Celtic player and in his career. So that shows that that focus and mentality and the training and obviously the confidence he's taken into the game. He will always attract the interest of teams. So, but listen, I don't have any fear. He's a good guy. He works very, very hard. And when you do that and you do well, you're always going to have interest.
It's an interesting one. If it was to
depends.
Be there, you need to know the fee and all that sort of stuff.
Depends on the profile of the deal. Do they want him on loan with an option to buy? Are they prepared to buy him outright in January? And as John on the line said, if Celtic are offered £20 million, there's every likelihood that they will take the money. But the league is in the balance. O'Reilly is arguably Celtic's best player of the season so far. If he goes, they had better have a good idea about who takes his place, because that would be the final nail for some supporters, that the club had opted once again to take the money when the title was in the balance. Are they a bank or are they a football club?
I don't think they'll let him go on loan, that's for sure. I mean, I know you're kind of going through all the options, but that would be, I don't think that would look great if he was to be let to go on loan, so I wouldn't kind of bet on him going on loan. But if there's a big transfer fee there, this is the model that Celtic have done over the last few years. Bring them in, again, play them at good levels in a big club.
I mean, what would that
one
be?
In,
2 years ago this January, a million in it. Yeah. 1.5 million.
And it's going to be, it'll be upwards of 15 million. Quite like, John says 20 million. I mean, it could be.
But could you, John saying that, they won't spend it anyway, could you, from a PR standpoint, could you do it this time with the league in the balance, with so many question marks over the squad?
Listen, there's nobody I want him to leave at this time. But listen, you just never know what happens behind closed doors with players. Maybe Matt really wants to go. Maybe he kicks out a fuss to leave. Maybe you've now got an unhappy player who's now not going to be scoring every other week for you in the league and playing a big part. You just don't know the dynamic of the player. You can't, again, talking about players, and you can't just tar them all with the same brush. Celtic will not want to lose Matt O'Reilly. Let's make that clear. They'll want him to see it out. He is their best player at this moment in time, Hugh. There's no doubt about that. He's added goals to his game this year, which, again, we talked about this at the start of the season. If he does do that, he goes to another level. And it will be that he will be the next player to move from Celtic for big money.
Thank you, John. We are going to speak to Jamie, who's a Celtic fan, next. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West for 50 years. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are here, joined on the line by Jamie, who's a Celtic fan. How's it going, Jamie?
My point was, I disagreed with you there in regards to saying I think it was the board's fault for appointing Brendan Rodgers. Considering the disarray we were in before Ange came, and when Ange came, he brought the whole club together. And then them appointing Brendan, they divided half of the support in regards to how he left the last time.
Right, sorry, I think we missed the start of it a little bit. So what you, in terms of tonight's discussion, you don't have faith in Brendan Rodgers turning this round, or you do? What's your take on it?
It depends on how much they back him. Depending on the players he brings in January, that'll tell the support how much the board are backing Brendan. And if it's not the case that he's backed the way that we want him backed, then I think half of the support will be back to not really wanting him there.
The board, by all accounts, Hugh, and you have to assume, and then based on what they're backing Brendan a lot in the sense that they pay him well to be here.
Yes.
I know what fans mean. I get that. That's the kind of everyday use of a manager being backed. When we talk about that, we mean transfer kitty and that sort of thing, but there clearly is a big show of faith in Brendan Rodgers as a person.
Yeah.
They've obviously had to push the boat out to a point to bring him back, but what's next then in terms of backing?
To that extent, you're absolutely correct. They have made him the richest ever
Scottish Football Manager. And that was by way of tribute to what he had done before at Celtic. And I think when you lose someone like Ange Postecoglou, to get in Brendan Rodgers, I thought was terrific for Celtic. And I'd never, ever understood the level of abuse that he had to take, because he left Celtic after winning 7 trophies, but left them before the season had ended, but did no damage. But he was always going to be on a hiding to nothing from those supporters who held those views. As soon as things went off the rails, they were always going to come back and have a go at Brendan Rodgers. I think he's been let down by the summertime transfer activity. 10 players, only one of them plays. And the summertime transfer activity was laughable. And I think I use the word advisedly, it was laughable. And January is so important for Celtic on the transfer front because, as I say, the league is in the balance. Who knows who'll be top of the league by the 1st of January? It may very well be Rangers and not Celtic, making the transfer window even more crucial. If they have as bad a transfer window as they had the last time out, they're done for.
What about before then, though, Jamie? There's a couple of weeks to go. Is it not going to be a return to winning ways tomorrow?
Hopefully that's the case, and we move back on track. But it's just the fact, the biggest thing for the fans now, I think, is how much he's backed, and the calibre of player that's brought in January will tell the support what the board's all about.
Yeah, I see that logic, Kenny.
I think I'll take us back to pre-season, and you've seen some of that transfer activity had already been done. I was waiting, and I've said it numerous times on this show, Brendan Rodgers coming up, there's going to be a big name, there's going to be a big signing, at least one big signing, like there was when he came up, and it just never came. And you know, you had fans phoning in saying, oh, but Maeda wasn't a big name sign, or Kyogo wasn't a big name, and I got that as well, but it just never came. And now, when you fast forward 4 or 5 months, they're actually not in a great place. The summer recruitment had not been good at all. And they've now got a real title race on their hands. And this is something that Celtic have no had. I mean, 1 year really over the last 12 that they've had a real challenge to their title. And I do, you sense a little bit of panic setting in. You know, so the January transfer window, listen, it's massive for both clubs, but I think this is an opportunity now for Brent to say, you know what, we need reinforcements. We need this guy, and this guy in the positions that he identifies, and the club need to go and get them if they want to maintain their dominance, because at this moment in time, it is really under threat.
You have to factor in the Asian Cup, Kyogo, Maeda, Hatate, Oh, they will all be going for a 4-week period, and that makes the transfer window even more important for Brendan Rodgers. It's quite straightforward. If they don't have a good January transfer window, there is every likelihood the title has gone.
Interestingly, I see Hearts are going to be without a few for the Asia Cup. The Australia squad's been announced. Marco Tilio's in it as well.
Well, he would need to carry ID so that anyone can find out what it looks like, because he's come to Scotland and he's been here, and I think he's had maybe 10 minutes in one game, and that's it. So he's certainly a wild card for the Australian team because he's played no football here.
Jamie, the other talking point from today was that link between Matt O'Reilly and Inter Milan. How important is it you keep him?
Well, if they lose O'Reilly, being the playmaker that he is, I think that the board will be hung out to dry if that was the case.
If there were major hypotheticals, almost any club in the world, if you're offered irresistible money, then it's difficult. But in a footballing sense, you get where Jamie's coming from.
Yeah, the Celtic fans now have the image of their club as a place where you buy for as little money as possible and you sell for as much money as possible. And you do that often enough to jeopardise your own chances. So right now, league in the balance, Matt O'Reilly, best player at the club. I repeat, are they a bank or are they a football club? Do they want to win the title or do they want to improve the bank balance?
And the thing with that as well, Matt O'Reilly, that money will be there in the summer. You know, the same money will be there in the summer. Maybe more, maybe a little bit less, who knows. It just depends on how serious Inter Milan, or any other suitor, by the way, for Matt O'Reilly, come in January, because everybody's got a price.
Thank you to Jamie. Let's hear more from Brendan Rodgers. He's been talking about the imminent return to the stadium of the Green Brigade.
Well, it's absolutely everything, but especially at a club like Celtic. Celtic, what makes Celtic tick is the support that they give the team, and because it's such an emotional connection. You know, Celtic's history is littered with goals and late goals, and a big part of that is down to the fans and the whole stadium really getting behind the team. And that's what makes Celtic. And when you have the manager, the supporters and the players all on the same page, then it's a really real force that we have in the game. So it hasn't been the atmosphere for a number of weeks, but like I said, that's the responsibility of everyone. But we know that when the atmosphere is white hot at Celtic, it's making it a really, really difficult place for teams to come and play, and also it gives the players that extra edge as well. It's a great lesson for the guys to be back in. There's no doubt that they've given an ambience in that corner section.
Going round in circles a little bit, Brendan was the one who said, if you can't behave, you can't get in. And now he's changed his tune because he feels that the team are suffering from the reduction in atmosphere. I won't say lack of atmosphere, the reduction in atmosphere. He speaks about the history of late goals. Celtic did many great things before there was a Green Brigade, so it doesn't necessarily follow that you can't win matches unless you have a Green Brigade.
It's a bad combination though, isn't it, if performances feel flat and then the crowd feels flat. I don't think anyone's saying it's a silver bullet to fix Celtic's problems, but it was all sort of coming together at a bad time last weekend, wasn't it?
What they've done is they have empowered the members of the Green Brigade because they have told them in not so many words, we really need you.
But to be fair though, we don't know what concessions, if any, have been made behind the scenes. I assume those conversations will remain private. But I'm assuming it's not, oh, by the way, we don't actually care about any of that stuff we accused you of before, and you come,
but
mate,
at the same time,
pull up a chair. It probably won't be that, will it?
In general terms, you have, in not so many words, told them that they are crucial to the days ahead. Tomorrow against Livingston, were they not to have been inside the stadium, it would have been very quiet. They will make as much noise as possible tomorrow, and then at the Rangers game, there will be the usual spectacle that goes on Derby Day.
Kevin is on the line. Kevin, what are your thoughts?
Hello?
Hi, Kevin, we've got you.
Oh, sorry, mate, I was just having a conversation there, sorry.
I know it's a busy time of year, the family's chaotic, it's fine. Let's take a couple of minutes and talk football. What have you got?
So I was just listening earlier, and I just think I was listening to you. It would have been not for the first time. I agree with everything you're saying. We've seen the next 8 days. It's crucial. It's vital for us. And what we're saying to the producer is we need to take 12 points for 12. But this is just my opinion. For me, the 12 points out of 12 will only be good enough. I need to see a lack in performances because there has been such a drop off. It's a concern. For me, I don't totally blame Brendan Rodgers, but I think it's 50-50. But Brendan Rodgers, he should have been experienced enough, man enough, to say the two Korean boys aren't good enough for Celtic, don't sign them, but he agreed to sign them. He should have been putting his foot down about getting players in. Now, whether he's done that or not, in the background, none of us will ever know, whether they've went for players and no go at them or whatever. But he needs to ensure that, and it's solely his responsibility, he needs to ensure that squad is overhauled in January. I know it's a tough window, but he needs to do something about it. And if it doesn't, it's a sign of weakness because that squad needs refreshed.
You'll need to settle for 9 points out of 9, I think, because there's only 3 games before the break. But the logic is still there. The 100% record, I don't think anyone would disagree. And it's a fair point about the squad because we find out about the result 5 o'clock, uh-huh. 5 past 5, depending on what VAR is up to tomorrow. But before all that, 1:45, that's when you get the latest instalment of, okay, where is Lager Bielka? Is he involved at all? Is Mikey Johnson in, or is Daizen Maeda back? There's Kwon back on the bench. Where's he come from? All that stuff that's been ongoing. That's the first bit to get to tomorrow.
Without doubt, at one point against Hearts last weekend, Alessandro Bernabe came on the park, and you think, what?
Really? Where's he been?
In an attacking role as well.
I mean, there are things happening that make you scratch your head and say, is Brendan Rodgers putting Burnaby on the park to say to the occupants of the director's box, look at what I've got to deal with here? Because as soon as Celtic get anything approaching an offer for Burnaby in January, he'll be off as well, because he has nothing to offer on a long-term basis. So the squad is in disarray. I do factor in that Abada's injured and Maeda had an injury and Hatate's had a long time out through injury, and that these things have been very important. But Lagabielka will be off in January as soon as Celtic can get money for him. Likewise, Navrotsky, Tilio, Kwon, I repeat, the summertime transfer activity was a real letdown. And I remain convinced, and it's one man's opinion, I remain convinced Brendan Rodgers did not know about at least half of them.
Again, to bring it back to today, Kevin, Matt O'Reilly, speculation, Inter Milan, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I wouldn't grudge him that whatsoever. Good luck to him. I'm sure we'll get a healthy fee for him. I would love to see him, I'd love to have him stay at the end of the season. I think this is for your English teams, your Spanish and Italian teams, January's probably alright for them, they don't worry, but when you're Celtic and Rangers, January's a nightmare for your big players, because you're panicking, because we play in Scotland, an English team and an Italian team can take him off and love that, there's nothing we can do about it. So I would love to see him stay at the end of the season, but if he gets a big move, I would not grudge him it. He's been absolutely brilliant, I'd wish him all the best. I'm sure we'll get a healthy fee, but if you're talking about Inter Milan, I mean, Jesus, you can't not get a pack. So good luck to him. But we need to spend the money. It's all right getting the money in. Mm-hmm. You need to take somewhere. You can't. Brendan Rodgers is like, it's like with the transfer money, it's like buying a Ferrari and not having any money to put petrol in. You need to give the guy money. You need to spend it.
Is that you that I've seen driving that Ferrari around Motherwell?
Certainly not me, mate. I think it was Gordon
BL. Oh, no, that's certainly not true. Taking us back to the days of the famous Passat. You want to see Gordon's Passat, honestly. Disgusting piece of automotive technology. Anyway, thanks to Kevin. We are going to hear from Philippe Clement. So, Rangers fans, it might be a good time for you to get in touch whilst I tell you about this. Win £300,000. Happy Christmas. We're almost there. We are almost there. And as the Christmas dinner starts to get wafted around the house, just imagine this time next week planning the new year with an extra £300,000 in it. You heard that right. On New Year's Eve, we guarantee someone will win £300,000. It is an incredible amount. It is our biggest ever cash giveaway, a huge 300 grand. If you want to be involved, can't really think of any logical reason why you wouldn't. So text yes to 61025. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on the website. Online entry costs £2. Or call 0330 880 4523. Calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only, and all the rules for this network competition are online. The lines close 3 p.m. Hogmanay. That's when Gemma Atkinson makes the call. There is no phrase or amount to remember. You don't even need to pick up within five rings. Just answer the phone and the £300,000 is yours. For your chance to win, text yes to 61025.
Glasgow and the West's league leader for 50 years. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans are here. You can call, you can tweet. Speaking of Twitter, thanks to the 14 people who think I owe Kevin an apology because I said about the 9 points to play for rather than 12. I am sorry. Kevin started his call by saying the next 8 days can define Celtic's season. I thought he meant the next 3 games. I humbly apologise, especially to Jim with his very passive aggressive. You guys get paid to know there's 4 games before the break. I know, Jim. I thought he meant up to the Derby game. I'm really, really sorry. Where is the Christmas spirit in here, Hugh Keevans?
Ah, humbug. Yeah, you were absolutely correct. Kevin said he was repeating what I had said.
Which was his first mistake, to be fair.
And agreeing that was
he should
the
know
next
better.
One,
yeah. He should indeed know a bit better than that. Let's bring in Alan, who's a Rangers fan in East Kilbride. How's it going, Alan?
How you doing, all right?
Yeah, good, you?
Yeah, great, thanks.
Good stuff. What's on your mind this evening?
I thought I was just going to talk about about the player of the year this year. For me, there's only one player in contention, really, and that's Jack Butland, the Rangers. He's been absolutely tremendous every game this season. There's been talk of Matt O'Reilly as well. Matt O'Reilly's not played well in every game. Jack Butland, for me, has not made one error this season at all in 20-plus games. Outstanding performances.
I mean, it's the earliest ever Player of the Year debate, but the half-season awards is a thing. I don't think many would grumble, Alan, but you'd have to say, Matt O'Reilly, you said Jack Butland would be the only one that's even in contention. We wouldn't go that far, would we? Let's be fair.
Yeah, but he's not really been mentioned. It's all been Matt O'Reilly, this, done this and that. Jack Butland, for me, has been outstanding every game he's played this year.
Jack Butland gets mentioned almost every game Rangers play. So you're entirely wrong there, Alan. And it has been, again, agreed that Rangers transfer business under Michael Beale initially did not look great, and the Rangers fans were the first to condemn Danilo and Dessers and Lammers and all the rest. And at the time, everyone said the one shining light, the one exception, is Jack Butland. So he has been mentioned in dispatches time without number, every game that Rangers play. So if you're suggesting there's some sort of agenda,
I don't think he is, to be
which
fair,
puts Matt O'Reilly ahead of Jack Butland, then you're wrong.
Kenny praising goalies too much anyway, Kenny. We've got to be sensible about this.
And that's exactly it. You've got guys who score goals, you've got guys who make goals, and it's again, it's not kind of undermining the role at all, because I think Jack Butland and Alan's bang on, he's barely put a foot wrong. You know, he's no had too much to do in a lot of games. When he's called upon, he's making the big saves. I actually think it goes a little bit further for me. I think he's a real positive influence on that Rangers team, that Rangers dressing room as well. He looks like the right type. He's just been an overall, away from how good a goalkeeper he is, he just seems a real top guy to have in that dressing room. Good leader and a good influence on that back four.
Let's give out another fake half-season award, Alan. Who's been the most improved player under Philippe Clement? If you want to say John Lundstrom and lead us nicely into a discussion about his injury, that's fine. But if you want to go for someone else, I won't hold you back.
No, I would definitely say John Lundstrom.
that worked out.
The last 6-8 weeks, he's been tremendous for the team. Am I going to miss him? Hopefully he'll be back for if not next Wednesday, definitely the Old Firm game. And that Old Firm game, that's a game Rangers can afford to lose now, in a way, because we should be really 10 points behind Celtic just now. They drew with Motherwell, they've been beat by Kilmarnock and Hearts. They should be 10 points ahead, don't they, really?
There's no such thing.
I know what you're saying, Alan, but psychologically, seriously, you think all this goodwill, everything that's been built up, the narrative swinging, Celtic are the crisis club, Rangers are flying, you go in there and lose, and then at full time you'll say, ah, we could afford to lose that. Come on.
With the injuries we've got now, see if we go there and get a positive result, a draw. I'm just saying, worst scenario, if we do get beat, 5 points behind, I'll take that any time going into after the winter break.
There is sounds no such self-preservation, that, Hugh.
In the history of the fixture, there has never been, and there never will be, a game that Rangers can afford to lose against Celtic and vice versa. It is, in psychological terms, so important. Philippe Clement's first derby game, Brendan Rodgers under pressure from his own supporters, no Rangers fans inside the ground, everything conspiring against Rangers for that reason, as it did against Celtic when they went to Ibrox. And remember, on the 3rd of September, Celtic went to Ibrox with a side diminished by injury and beat Rangers 1-0. And the same applies to Rangers when they go to Celtic Park. They will be minus so many good players, automatic picks, but were Rangers to come away from Celtic Park on the 30th of December with a win, the psychological impact on Rangers and the psychological blow to Celtic would be overwhelming.
The one thing we don't know is whether John Lundstrom will be fit or who will, and let's be honest, you wouldn't put it past one or two others either coming down with something or coming, you know, Rangers' injury record's been really difficult this season, Kenny, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been awful, and I think he has been the one player that's probably improved the most under Philippe Clement. There's no getting away from that. He's back to the form that he played that major role in taking Rangers all the way to the Seville 2 seasons ago to the Europa League final. He's been superb, so it'll be a big loss. And it's not just about him, it's the fact that Raskin's injured also, and Ryan Jack's still injured as well. I've not seen him for a while.
They're really, really,
no, not at all. So really important players. So if John Lundstrom isn't fit, for that game at Celtic Park, then it will be a big, big loss to Rangers in a really important area of the pitch.
Well, he's definitely out this weekend for the trip to Motherwell alongside Kemar Roofe. They both came off early in the win against St Johnstone midweek. Here's what Philippe Clement had to say on that.
That they're both not available for Sunday. To say how long, it's difficult for the moment. It's quite early after this game and you need to make a good analyse with scans and getting results and all those things. So we cannot say much more for the moment. The most disappointing is for him because he's doing everything to avoid it. He felt really good. We are now assessing what can be the reason and to look very deep, very much into detail, to find solutions for him, together with him. So everybody's really disappointed for Kemar, because for him is the worst thing. And that's normal that the disappointment is that big. I understand, I had also moments like that in my career. So at that moment you feel that the sky drops on your head. It is what it is. Now it's about looking for solutions.
I mean, I guess Kieran Dowell and Dujon Sterling all of a sudden become the midfield partnership at Fir Park. Kenny, if that was to rumble on and that becomes it at Celtic Park as well, fair play. If they can keep digging out results with that, that's the bit that gives the manager even more credit, doesn't it?
And it should do, because
no offence to the two guys, by the
no,
way.
No, you know, I mean, no, not at all, because you've not seen a lot of Kieran Dowell since he came to the football club. Very, very little game time because of maybe not being quite up to speed initially. He's then had injuries. Sterling's the same. I think he's been injured. There's been illness there. He's now playing in a position that's really foreign to him. Listen, he's got the physicality to play in there. There's no getting away from that. But for me, Rangers will miss the control that maybe a John Lundstrom, a Nico Raskin, a Ryan Jack can bring. Because I look at the cup final game, and even in spells the other night against St Johnstone, there's sometimes not as much control from that area. You want that number six or number sixes to be getting on the ball and really, really dominating. You know, they went down to 10 men. It made it quite an easy night's work. But if you're going into Celtic Park with Dowell and Sterling, potentially Cantwell ahead of that, listen, it's nowhere near your first choice midfield. You want to have your best players available for the biggest games.
Thanks, Alan. It was nice to speak to you. That was Alan in East Kilbride on 01419511025, and it is already that time of the night.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
What a way to end the week. I can just imagine you've probably finished up for work, you've been rushing around getting the last minute bits and pieces in, you're looking forward to the Christmas holidays, and you could mark that occasion by beating Hugh Keevans or Kenny Miller on Beat the Pundit. What an incentive. 01419511025, and the lines close at 7.
First for football for 50 years, this is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are here. It's 01419511025. Or you could tweet your festive wishes to these two at Clyde SSB. See, one of them's birthday tomorrow as well.
Oh.
And we know which one, because you just banged on about yours last month. We know yours is always around the time of Scotland beating Serbia. That's the anniversary.
November 12, no flowers by request.
23rd of December birthday, same as my gran. There you go. You and my gran, she'll be delighted. She watches I think sometimes on YouTube with no idea like what's going on. Not really interested in football, just likes to tune in. So there is that. Do you get double presents? Is that a difficult time? That
normally I used to, when I was younger, I used to make sure I had something on
not anymore.
Nah, not so much.
Heart bleeds for him, honestly. It's a shame. 01419511025. Get your calls in. We have been looking at Rangers' injury situation. No Lundstrom or Roofe this weekend. And then I guess touch and go really for a certain game on the 30th of December. There are four games before the winter break, in case anyone was counting. Celtic fans, how big is tomorrow? Really, not often we talk about having to recover from back-to-back league defeats. How big's tomorrow? What are you expecting there? There's been a bit of interest apparently from Inter Milan and Matt O'Reilly, so keep your thoughts coming there as well. And something a bit different, Nick Montgomery, Hibs manager, you're going to be able to hear his every word in theory. on the Edinburgh Derby. Sky Sports coverage is going to be mic'd up. It's a bit of an innovative look at the fixture on TV. If you have any thoughts there, get them in and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. I don't know if this is false advertising. Alan, who's in Stranraer, how are you?
How you doing, mate?
What I didn't say before I asked people to phone in is there is a little bit of a Christmas theme to these questions. Is that okay with you?
I will go with it. We'll see what
Why not? I mean, if you said no, I don't really know what my plan was there. There is no other Alan. But there we go. We'll see how we get on. If it's heads, it will be Hugh Evans. If it's tails, it is Kenny Miller. I think if we've had any disasters on Beat the Pundit. Oh, we had your big pal. How could I forget? This was the week. Yeah. Boydie versus yeah. Hannaman.
And he done him as well.
He beat him, didn't he?
Yep. Yeah.
It's almost like I could hear you sniggering away in the background.
I think I was initially at one point, but then when I heard the voice, I had to just walk.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that, so you were there, and then yeah. he put on the, hi, it's yeah. Roger, yeah. or whatever it was.
Yeah, that was me. I'd had enough, so I just thought, it's me, I'm done.
Anyway, it is heads. There will be no fake voices tonight. It is Hugh Keevans. That's his real voice, by the way. I know you've been asking that all these years, but Alan and Stranraer are going to take on Hugh, so let me give Hugh some greatest hits radio to listen to. So that he can hear what's going on in here. Alan, 30 seconds, answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yep.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Rocky Santa Cruz moved from Blackburn to which other English team?
Pass.
What nationality is St Johnstone goalkeeper Dimitar Mitov?
Pass.
Trabzonspor and Sivasspor play in which country?
Turkey.
Name either top scorer in the Scottish Premiership from outside the Old Firm. Ahead of Scotland opening the Euros at the Allianz Arena, who were the last Scottish club to play there?
Rangers.
And which Swedish team includes Santa's Little Helpers as part of their name?
I can't remember.
What's Santa's Little Helper called? I'll need to leave it there. Let's bring Hugh Keevans back. I mean, you've heard those questions, Kenny Miller.
Did
you not hear them?
I could just see your face. I could know there was a pause trying to get the.
Because I told you there's like a Christmas theme. But I think this is quite hard because it's not every question. So I'm now worried that you're going to be thinking of like a Christmas pun for a question when it's not required. But we'll just see how we go. Okay. It was interesting. Ready?
I am.
Go. Rocky Santa Cruz moved from Blackburn to which other English team?
Preston.
What nationality is St Johnstone goalkeeper Dimitar Mitov?
Bulgarian.
Trabzonspor and Sivasspor play in which country?
Turkey.
Name either top scorer in the Scottish Premiership from outside the Old Firm.
Mijovski.
Ahead of Scotland opening the Euros at the Allianz Arena, who were the last Scottish club to play there?
Rangers.
And which Swedish team includes Santa's Little Helpers as part of their name?
Can I answer this one?
Young Boys of Bern.
What? Elfsborg. Alan. Elfs.
I don't know. He's not beating me 1-0, has he?
Oh my goodness. Rocky Santa Cruz moved from Blackburn to Man City. See what we did there, Santa Cruz.
Oh, right.
But then the next, like, it was every odd question, if you like. So Mitov is Bulgarian. Hugh Keevans goes one in front. Luckily, you both got something on. Turkey again, you know Christmas dinner,
yeah,
etc.
Yeah, yeah.
So you both got that. So it's 2-1 to Hugh Keevans. I feel for Alan here because I think you just misheard me, Alan. Name either top scorer in the Premiership outside the Old Firm. Alan said Tavernier, which obviously couldn't be the answer, and Hugh got it right. You had the choice of Mijovski or Shankland. Have you seen this debate amongst like Aberdeen and Hearts fans as to who's better?
Yeah,
I quite like that because obviously Scottish football is usually dominated by like one-upmanship between Glasgow's big two. So it's nice to see like the kind of, you know, Hearts and Aberdeen competing on that front.
Who's better? Could they score for Morecambe?
Who's better out of those two?
Shankland.
Mijovski.
Oh, there we go. You get the deciding vote on the phones if you so fancy it. Right, it's 3-1 to Hugh Keevans, I'm afraid. Interestingly, you both went Rangers at the Allianz Arena at Celtic 2017, lost 3-0 to Bayern, remember? And honestly, as hard as I tried, I couldn't get either of you to say Elfsborg. So there we go. And it is a 3-1 win for Hugh Keevans. But Alan, I appreciate you taking part, especially when we threw the Christmas theme on you. You were a good sport. Thanks very much.
Cheers, mate. Well,
good, well, man. Brilliant. Thank you, Alan. There we go. The only other one was true or false. A team called FC Santa Claus play in Lapland.
No, false.
Apparently true.
What?
I don't know. According to this, how many teams are in the Lapland League? And the CD Santa Clara play in which European league?
Ah, oh, Santa Clara.
Portugal.
Yes, it is Portugal. There we go. That's like three or four Santa questions, so I think we need to branch out into like different Christmas puns in there.
I also moved young boys of Bern from Switzerland to Sweden.
I know. I mean, I think we need to move on from that question, quite frankly. We tried and tried. I gave Alan way more time than he deserved, I have to say. Right, 01419511025. I love this tweet from Jim because it's just got everything you'd want. It's got that real aggressiveness of the Scottish football rivalry in the Glasgow bubble, but a nice sentiment at the end. He says, let's go and win this league at Celtic, tagged Celtic in it so that they know. Put this lot back in their box, including the Scottish media, SSB, Shinjuku Shug, Gordon Duncan. Keep punching us, we will fight back at yous. Merry Christmas, says.
Away and give yourself peace.
Anyway, festive goodwill and all that sort of stuff. Let's bring in John Paul, who is a Celtic fan. How's it going?
Hi, how you doing, panel?
All good in here. How are you? You well?
I'm fine, thanks.
Good.
Merry Christmas to you all as well.
Same to you. You all set?
I'm quite measured, to be honest. I've listened the last few nights, obviously, for Celtic lost at to Hearts, but I don't see any fear at all that Celtic will win the league. I just feel like the players have got injured coming back, you know, the likes of Tati, Carter Vickers, and plus I know for a fact Celtic will spend their money than Rangers in this window. I know that for a fact because otherwise the manager might walk. So and I think he's got a point to prove coming back a second time because I think he realised, you know, he can upset a lot of people, even his own family. So I've got no worry at all about Celtic this year. I think they'll beat Livingston and then they'll beat Rangers and then I think it'll be the same as it was probably just before this couple of games we've had. You know what I mean? Obviously, we'll
don't like it, but I think
official pitch. But I'm 100% confident Celtic will win the league.
Sorry, John Paul, dropped out a bit there. Do you know what I think is great about that, Hugh, is right now, how can any of us say, that's rubbish, that's nonsense, that won't happen? That we are so poised here, and I know a lot can happen before the 30th, but it reminds me of that caller earlier, the Rangers fan saying, oh, we can afford to lose this. Just the swing either way that game could produce, it's going to be massive, isn't it?
You cannot take away from people their love of their football club and the way they see it. And John Paul is one of those who just can't see anything ever going wrong. But if John Paul feels no fear, then he's entirely wrong, because the league is in the balance. And it's not about how much money Celtic spend in the window, it's who they spend it on.
Yeah.
Because they spent around about 16 or 17 million pounds summertime, and by and large it's been a waste of money. And there are concerns about the squad and concerns about who comes in the month of January, and concern over Hatate and Furuhashi and Hatate Maeda all going to the Asian Cup. There are a variety of concerns about Celtic, and to say that you are 100% certain, well, I don't deny you your fanaticism, but you're sleepwalking.
Just feels like, Kenny, the, you know, even although, like we said, Celtic have back-to-back defeats, Rangers haven't lost yet under Philippe Clement, last 16 Europa League, League Cup in the bag, everything a lot more positive, it's still perfectly understandable to think that Celtic might win that fixture, isn't it? It's just, it's not swung that much yet, because we're early on in it.
Yeah, listen, Celtic at Celtic Park with all their fans, no Rangers fans there, will go into that game as favourites, irrespective of what the results are between now and then.
Think so?
Absolutely will. I've no doubt about that. And I think it's a brilliant game on so many levels. I mean, taking allegiances out of it, Rangers have got the, I know Philippe Clement didn't like the word momentum, but they have got the momentum, they've got the consistency of the results. On the other side of the city, there's something missing at this moment in time in how Celtic are attacking, how they were able to break teams down with their quality and their energy before. It seems to be missing at this moment in time. But it's a chance for Celtic to say, you know what, I think, again, we'll have this question next week. How many Rangers players will get into the Celtic team? You know, and I still think so there'll be more Celtic players in that combined 11 than there would Rangers. So I think they've got better players at this moment in time. They're going through a real blip at this moment. They're not responding to the manager in the way that all fans would have hoped. They're not happy about recruitment. They want January to come quick. But Celtic will still go into that game as favourites. I've absolutely no doubt about it. But Rangers do have the momentum. They have the good feeling this new manager's brought, and they've got the belief, I'm sure they will, that they could go to Celtic Park and win.
Thanks to John Paul. Have a nice Christmas. 01419511025. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB if you want to get your thoughts over there. I keep going back to, we mentioned it last night. Did you hear the call earlier in the week? The Celtic fan who said that he'd Kelly pies left on his desk by his workmates taking the mick. Then he had jam tarts left.
Yeah.
And what do you get if Livy win? And it has to be Tony Macaroni themed. I can't think of anything else. It's got to be the obvious place for that joke to go, doesn't it?
Well, if Livy win, he'll have absolutely no appetite whatsoever, so they can give him anything.
Oh, we're in, like, extend the phone-in territory if that was to happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
Kenny, could Brendan Rodgers have, you know, if we're just talking about on paper, the team that's bottom and it's at your place, is that the ideal fixture? Or still is there, has it been a bit easier than you would have expected for teams to come in at Celtic Park and sit in and make life difficult this season?
Listen, that's what Livingston are going to do, make no mistake about it. They're going to come, they're going to defend, they're going to frustrate, they're going to work ever so hard. I just cannot see anything other result than a really convincing Celtic win tomorrow. They're at home. Like I say, these players, I think it was going back to, was it John or Jamie, one of the first two callers, Celtic, these players don't become bad players overnight or over the course of a few weeks. They absolutely don't. They have to view this, and this Celtic team have displayed real kind of relentless nature and real hunger to continually succeed over the last few years. So I don't think you lose that. They're just in a bad moment, and I think they'll get back to winning ways tomorrow.
In your deepest subconscious, if you're a Celtic fan, you're thinking, we nearly made a mess of it twice against St Johnstone. We nearly made a mess of it twice against Motherwell. That belated goal from Matt O'Reilly at Fir Park, and then being one up late on at Celtic Park, Motherwell still got a point. Celtic twice messed it up against Kilmarnock, once in a cup competition, once in the league. At the moment, you cannot say about Celtic, oh, it will be this, that or the other, because which Celtic turn up?
Yeah, but not everyone's as negative as you, because you've
just given you documentary evidence there.
I know, and if you would let me finish, I was going to give you documentary evidence and say some Celtic fans might just turn up and say, well, we put six past Aberdeen here and we beat Feyenoord here and we went and put four past Hibs here, so I think it's going to be more like one of those days rather than the ones you mentioned. I'm just saying you can't just list all the bad bits and pretend that that's fully representative.
No, the point I was making was that the teams in the bottom six, Celtic did struggle.
Aberdeen on the bottom six.
Well, anyway, you cannot dismiss the fact that they have dropped 8 points from November 25 to December 16. 8 points. And that has brought the league to where it is now.
It certainly is close. William is on the line. How's it going, William?
Hello, guys. America, so to you when it comes.
Thank you, William. Same to you. You well?
Yeah, I'm fine, mate. Thank
good.
You. I love Kenny to bits. He's a great Rangers man, right? But I've got to pick him up. Combined Celtic and Rangers. I'll just give him a list, right? Cantwell, Lundstrom, Seema, Balogun, Goldson, Tavernier, Butland. I think there's more Rangers players that get into that Celtic team than Celtic other. But that's by the by, right?
No, but I think Kenny's point is, though, William, because let's not, this is what we do, right? We not everything has to be all about your own team. There are loads of Rangers fans who phone in here. They're delighted with the results. They think it's brilliant. They're praising Philippe Clement. That doesn't mean every player at Rangers is playing well. Todd Cantwell seriously getting in a combined 11 of those two teams right now?
Absolutely.
Nah, come on.
Absolutely. But if he's a 50-50, what you're saying, right, the rest of our mentions are definite, right? But that wasn't my main point, right?
So is Bart Balogun ahead of Carter Vickers?
Absolutely, right, he's playing right now, right? That's my point, Gordon, before you, just let me finish, right? We've conceded 8 goals up until now, right? That's December 22nd, Rangers conceded 8 goals. And the difference between the teams is the defence and the manager. We have got a far superior manager than Celtic at the moment. He's proved it. He's got his challenger for the league. He's got his in the last 16 of the Europa League. He's won us a cup. That's undisputed, in my fact. I just think Kenny should just think. You know what I mean? I know he's a pundit. He's neutral. He's got to be on the show. But the Rangers are playing better than Celtic at the moment. And that's where I'm coming from.
Just think, Kenny. Just think, says William.
I just think. No offense. Well, I do think, William. And Callum McGregor and Matt O'Reilly are getting in there ahead of any Rangers midfielder. And that's me with being, you know, my allegiances are clear where they lie. You know, but Callum McGregor and Matt O'Reilly are in. I don't even care how bad Kyogo's playing. Kyogo still gets in there. Because it's not just about now. I'm not just saying, oh, well, this looking week at this small sample size of what's happened in the last two or three games. You're looking at who's performed over a number of seasons now. Just playing for two or three games doesn't win you league titles, William. You know, and this is where you're going back. Carter Vickers has done it. By the way, absolutely, Tavernier, Goldson and Butland getting the team. And I think there would be a general debate if Lundstrom maybe makes it into that midfield alongside these guys. And all. But again, this is all here and there. You know, like, Celtic are a decent team. By the way, and again, William, Rangers are being very, very consistent in results. Rangers are not playing great football. So I don't know what games you've been watching, maybe outside of the Betis game, but Rangers have not been playing great football. They've got a manager who's getting absolute maximum out of this group at this moment. By the way, irrespective of who's fit or no fit, the team's turning up and that team's been winning games of football. But they're not playing great stuff, so to say they're playing better than Celtic, the results over this period have been better than Celtic's, and that's why there is a real title race on, and that's why that game at Celtic Park in 8 days' time has got everybody's eyes on.
I think what William makes a bang on point, though, is the defence. The goals against column is very often an indicator of, you know, the team that wins the league will tend to have the better goals against before someone digs up an example of when that wasn't the case. But it usually is. You know, 8 conceded by Rangers, 14 for Celtic. That's a relatively big difference at this stage, I would say.
Yeah, but again, I think that's down to the personnel back there. I think, again, going back to one of the previous calls, it's down to the influence that Jack Butland's had on them. See, having a goalkeeper of that quality, and Rangers had it for a number of years with Alan McGregor, it gives you a confidence. You know, it gives you a confidence that when the big saves are needed to be made, that they make them. And Jack Butland's been that guy. Again, could you say that James Tavernier's had his best season, or Borna Barisic, or Radovan Yilmaz has had their best season? Again, the centre-back pairings have went for Davis to Suter to Balogun to Goldson. But since Philippe Clement, it doesn't matter who's played. There's been they've been solid at the back. They've not gave too much away. And like you say, 8 goals over this period of time is a wonderful
record.
I take
your point about the Celtic defence. The goalkeeper, for me, is unreliable. The fullbacks have come in for terrible criticism of late. Alistair Johnson doesn't look the same player he was last season. Poor old Greg Taylor is the whipping boy for the Celtic fans. At Kilmarnock, a Nat Phillips' own goal, he'll be down the road in January because he's not up to it at Celtic. Against Hearts, Lon Shankland is allowed to score a fine header, but absolutely no one marking him. And then the goalkeeper for me was suspect at the Hearts free kick. So you're right to highlight the fact that they are not at their best defensively.
Thank you very much to William. 01419511025. What do you make of Nick Montgomery being mic'd up for the Edinburgh derby? You're going to be able to hear his instructions to his team. Might even hear him shouting at the ref. You might even hear him talking to himself. I wonder if you think that's quite a nice thing, quite an exciting thing to look forward to, or you're not seeing the fuss, or you'd rather it was something else. You let us know right now and we'll take a look at it next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Glasgow and the West's league leader for 50 years. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are here. It's 01419511025. And you can tweet us at Clyde SSB if you want. Right, get your thoughts over to us on whatever. If it's any any of the topics we've covered already, fine. If it's something different, absolutely fine. And whilst you do get in touch, let me tell these two about the question for tonight.
The full-time teaser with Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride. Slad wall panels available in 7 colours. Now in stock at East Kilbride at competitive prices.
That's that guy again. It does it so I have to read it out. It's Gordon DL's unusually long nose who's sent the question in. What can you do? Need to find an acronym, break that down a bit. Can you name the last 5 players to wear the number 10 for each of Rangers and Celtic? So 10 answers in total. Can you name the last 5 to wear the number 10 for Rangers and Celtic? Looking at this list, that is tough. Way tougher than you would think.
Davis.
Steve Davis, a nice easy one to start us. I mean, even Celtic's most recent number 10, you, I think, will surprise you.
A Yeti?
Maybe not. There we go. I'll be in a Yeti. Well done. Oh, honestly, some of the names on here.
Who's 10? I'm trying to think who 10 is at the moment. Davis has still got it.
I'll give you that for now. There is no.
Does it go as far back as Novo?
No. Oh, I'll tell you what, Celtic's list is tough in places as well. Right, I'll tell
Cooper?
You.
No, it's far back.
It does, but he was 88, wasn't he? What about in terms of that kind of first Brendan Rodgers era?
Dembele.
Moussa Dembele, right, okay. We'll leave it there, we'll see what we can come up with. And if you want to send your questions in, that's the idea of the full-time teaser. You send the questions in, the pundits try and come up with the answer to your questions. So it is fulltime@clyde1.com. That's the email address you need. Fire them over and we'll see what we can come up with in the future. Right, this was an interesting story. It wasn't one that I expected today, had to be said. It's something very different, that's for sure. I wonder what you make of it. The headline of it all is that Hibs boss Nick Montgomery is going to wear a microphone during the Edinburgh Derby. He's going to speak to Sky's commentary team throughout the game or at points in the game, and ultimately you'll be able to hear what he's got to say, whether that's shouting at his team, shouting at the ref, various bits throughout the game. He's going to be mic'd up, as it's become known. Some of the other kind of subplots, that one of his coaching staff's going to wear a body cam to give you kind of that first person perspective of what's going on. There's going to be cameras in the home dressing room before and after the game. I think Sky Sports are also due to be on the Hearts team bus, I think, or certainly access to the Hearts team hotel. A Hearts player is going to wear a body cam during the warm up. Again, just I don't think anyone is expecting this, Hugh, to like bring Scottish football to a standstill and everyone should celebrate. It's just an attempt to do something a bit different and a bit innovative.
It will be of great interest to some. It will be a massive irritation to others. If Hibs are losing and they suddenly have an in-game commentary with Nick Montgomery, the Hibs fans will say, "What's he doing? Talking?"
You might see the headset get ripped off him at that point and thrown to the side of the dugout. Well,
but obviously fraught with danger as well because of expletives. There'll be a variety of apologies made.
I mean, I'm sorry, just that sounds great. let's be quite honest about that. Let's not sit here and go, "Oh, how terrible! Oh, it's, you know, fraught with danger." I get that, and that's some whatever process Sky have in place, they'll need to come up with.
I don't blame the television company because they pay for Scottish football and they are trying to be innovative. But it will infuriate as many as it pleases, and I take it the Hearts manager refused to be mic'd up at the same time.
Yeah, he said today it wasn't for him, which is fine. I mean, I think that's understandable.
Course, yeah, I mean, the TV is entitled to seek new ways of presentation, but they cannot force themselves on managers and players if they don't want to be. All the body cam stuff depends whatever turns you on, you know. I'd just rather see the match, really.
That's the thing, Kenny. Again, it's something to be tried and see if it doesn't work or people don't like it. I mean, that's fine. No one's making you like it and no one's making it necessarily be there. I think they did it with, what was the fixture again? It was an English lower league fixture. Wickham Portsmouth, I think, League One match. Just something a bit different to give fans a bit of an insight that they maybe otherwise wouldn't get. Oh. I get if you're a manager or whatever, you might not like to do it, but in terms of the reason for it being done, it's just to try and be a bit different.
Well, to give fans that kind of insight into what actually goes on the touchline, again, the emotions. By the way, it'll be really, really interesting to see how Nick Montgomery kind of keeps his emotions in check, because there's no doubt he's obviously going to be fully aware that he's mic'd up and everybody's going to be able to hear what he's saying. So how will that affect him? But listen, when you're in the heat of battle, particularly a Derby Day battle, it's going to be really, really tough for him when his team concede a really bad goal, or his team score a really, really good goal, and to keep his emotions in check.
That's the thing. All the things that you two are saying from like the manager's perspective are going to be difficult. That's the bit that's exciting.
That's what I mean.
Me.
That's why for a you fan know, like, tuning in, that will be interesting to watch that. Even from our perspective, again, I want to be a potential coach, potential manager. It will be interesting to watch to mm-hmm. see how he does keep that in check. Or if he doesn't, and it's just the emotion and the adrenaline, everything in the game actually goes into how he actually
quickly,
speaks.
And don't forget, and in the meantime though, you find yourself in the commentary box more often than the dugouts. You need to embrace it. It could be you soon. You could be the one asking the questions.
With regard to the whole subject of evolution, which this is, and we're in our period of nostalgia here with the 50th anniversary coming up, we had a legendary phone-in on a Saturday night. And then one day I was called into an office and they said, "We're thinking of having it Monday to Friday." And I said, "What?" And it literally started that evening. Are you free? 6 o'clock? Right, we're on. And here we are, years and years later, the most listened to programme that you can get. So I understand evolution. Some will hate it, some will love it. We're going to have to go through the process to work out who's on what side. Mm.
What about Andy on the line? You got thoughts either way, Andy?
Hi, how you doing, guys? Wish you all the best for Christmas.
Thank you.
No, I was saying to the producer there, I said, "Now listen, if you're mic'd up and you try to pass on tactics to your players, everyone can hear it." So what? I mean, I think it's a lot of nonsense. If you try to tell players, you know, you see them whispering in the ear, "Want you to do this, want you to do that." Now, is that not a disadvantage if you try to pass on really good tactics to some of your players?
I'll tell you, it'll be a disadvantage, Andy, if Stephen Naismith's got somebody tuned into the Sky commentary. They can hear exactly what's going on.
What type of thing, Andy? Maybe Kenny can probably answer this better than us, because I obviously get the logic there, and Philippe Clement said it as well, as one of the reasons that he wouldn't like it is because he doesn't want other teams to hear. I wouldn't dream of shooting down what coaches and managers do, Kenny, but how revelatory can it be? Do you know what I mean? If we hear Nick Montgomery telling his fullbacks to tuck in a bit, or we hear him telling his wide men to push on, who cares?
And you know what? See, that type of instruction might be specific for what's actually happening in that moment. Yeah. You know, so I listened to Philippe Clement's thing. Again, it's no for him, which is absolutely fine.
Totally.
It might just be, and I get when I think he said a couple of things, I thought, all right, okay, it makes sense. It might be how he reacts to a certain situation or a team doing something, how they respond to it. And I can maybe get that for further down the line for future reference. But anything that's going to be given in that game is going to be specific to that moment or to that player that needs to be doing something different to stop either to get joy or to stop the opposition getting any joy. It'll be interesting.
I'll put this to you. And you do a lot of television work. It's an idea for me that television wants, because they want the manager to explode. Because there's only so much tuck in and bomb on and whatever that you can take. It's boring.
Not for everyone. I think that's unfair on lots of football fans out there. I think, look, obviously, anything that's kind of dramatic and eye-catching, that's going to go down well from a TV perspective. But I think you're doing some of our listeners and some viewers a disservice. Some people just like to hear. They just want to know what's going on.
And it might be down to see the interactions between the manager and his staff and what does get discussed in relation to making a sub. Or, by the way, what if somebody goes down to 10 men? How they react to that type of... That's the tactical thing. Mm-hmm. Listen, the blockbuster stuff's going to be when the two dugouts come to blows, or there's a really bad refereeing decision and how you react to that, or your player misses a sitter when you're 1-0 down, or your player makes a real bad mistake and costs you a goal. There's going to be highlights in there. There's going to be a Nick Montgomery highlight reel at the end of this.
When Lee Johnson had a wee dig at Stephen Naismith.
I mean, good if it was on when he was here, eh?
Yeah, well, I mean, he would never have shut up.
Get Derek Adams mic'd up.
Yeah.
See what he's got to say about the game.
Borkum, 100 times better.
I know what you're saying, Andy, and that's why some managers won't like it. I do just wonder, do you think Nick Montgomery or any manager, do you think they're going to say anything that everybody goes, that's what Hibs are doing. Listen to that. That's their game plan. We've got them sussed. I mean, especially now, you know, teams are analysed to death. I think everybody will know what Hibs are kind of trying to do, will they not?
Well, I think
with my phone beeping. I'm going, well, if David Martindale was on it, you wouldn't hear about this game because it'd just be full of beeps.
That is true. And again, look, the logistics of that stuff, I genuinely have no idea what Sky's plans are. I don't know what, if you know, what the fail-safe is for sweary words, whatever. No idea. I just feels like, you know, you shouldn't be scared to change. I think that would be the kind of bottom line here. See if you think it's rubbish and it doesn't add anything. See if it doesn't add anything. Sky probably won't do it again. And if Nick Montgomery hates it, he won't do it again. But if, and without getting deep a couple of days before Christmas, in life, if you just always just do things the way they've always been done, you just kind of don't get anywhere.
As I say, evolution, you know, I'm all for it. Now, this is my cold beans moment for you. I always turn down the commentary. I turn it down completely for live football matches. I like to think for myself, that's a penalty or whatever.
I mean, it's interesting, but it's a personal preference.
Yeah,
that's fine.
I turn it down completely. I have no sound at all. But if you're in the market for bomb on, nip in, da-da-da-da, you know, be my guest.
We have had some messages and where was the one that just came to my attention? Moose says, I think a manager having a mic is a good thing. It works every week on the Formula One with lots of beeps along the way. As Hugh says, some people love it, some people hate it. I think the NBA do quite a bit of that, and they try and kind of maybe not give away too much of the tactical side of things. NFL, I think, I don't watch loads of it, and Roger Hanna would be able to tell me more, but they tend to be mic'd up at various points. That's not to say they're right, football's wrong, we must copy that. It's just football is very set in his ways with some things, Kenny. There'll be loads of other sports where this type of thing's like embraced to try and make it different or a bit more accessible.
Listen, I'll look forward to watching that because it will be an exciting watch. If you watched Nick Montgomery already, is it the jump about kind of angry? Maybe not so much.
That's why he's agreed to it. You know,
potentially.
Philippe Clement said today, I can't remember if I've got his interview to play you on that topic. I know he spoke about a number of things, and I told you about the injuries earlier. No, I don't think I do, but he basically said wouldn't want to give away tactics, wouldn't want people hearing what he was saying to his staff, and he might say some not nice things. Derek McInnes as well referenced who was the manager last night? Was it Alaves? Did he lose a last minute goal to Real Madrid? You not seen this guy? Yep. Oh, it's an all timer. He's booting all sorts, he's chucking his jacket, he's like shaking his subs by the shoulders. And Derek McInnes was saying, can you imagine that? You know, and you might say things you regret. So totally get that. You wonder if Nick Montgomery almost knows himself as a character. You'd like to think so.
I think that's why he's agreed to do it, because
it puts him in the spotlight. Mm-hmm. You know, it puts you in the spotlight.
But he clearly feels that he has control, self-control, and he had better had, otherwise it would be glee time for the cameras.
Yeah, and look, this will be fair play to Hibs as a club. This won't just be Nick Montgomery. I'd imagine this was a couple of months probably in the making. I don't think they've just rocked up to Nick Montgomery this week and said, Nick, what do you think? Hearts.
It will either fascinate or infuriate, or do both.
But almost certainly intrigue.
Oh yeah, without doubt. Yeah. I mean, Kenny's just said he'll definitely going to watch and observe and see how it sits with him. I'll have the sound turned down, so it won't impact me at all.
Well, maybe you should, so we can talk about it on the show. You maybe just turn it up for that game.
Doesn't like chocolate, doesn't drive,
eats cold beans.
Eats cold beans, watches football turned down. Just he's one of a kind, and that is why we love him. Anyway, any thoughts
on
that?
How does he know what the atmosphere's like in the stadium when he keeps talking about these atmospheres that are maybe a bit lower, a bit higher?
Oh, I turn it on until the game starts. The sound's up until the game starts. And then
that's interesting. I like to know who's on the ball, because sometimes in TV, you know, if the angle's a bit different, or I always like to hear who's on the ball or what's happening.
If a major controversy occurs, then
you turn it up.
Yeah, because I will have my impression first.
You
of
know
all.
You notice how we've done that? He turns it up.
He's got one of those TVs. Analog. Just an apology to all of Scottish football's commentators and co-commentators who thought Hugh Keevans was your friend all these years. He never listens to a word that you say. Anyway, how's your teaser looking? The last five players to wear number 10 for each of Rangers and Celtic. Steve Davis, Albion Ayeti, Moussa Dembele so far. I can see Kenny Vine throwing some answers in. Milo's throwing some answers in.
Did Chris Sutton wear 10?
No.
Hartson?
Nope.
Not far?
Not far enough. Too far back. Yeah, yeah.
Rangers, Barry Mackay?
Yes.
Did Lewis McLeod wear it?
He's not.
Not on the list?
No, see, I reckon he must have been about sixth or something, if he did. Because the guy that's last on the Rangers list strikes me as being round about Lewis McLeod's time, or maybe just after. So.
Yeah.
No, in fact, I don't think he did then.
No. I'm struggling on Ovi Ejaria.
What a shout that is. Ovi Ejaria. We'll get the rest of the answers, I think, next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scotland 2, Australia 0.
At 50.
I'm Richard Park. I brought Hugh Keevans in because we were looking for a young personality.
A young personality.
When you're a veteran of this game, but you are accorded respect.
He, to me, was somebody who was going to be a top-class broadcaster.
Donati and Snow, not up to the job.
Solid opinions, not afraid to speak his mind.
It was a red cap. The goalkeeper is overweight.
It's not a red card for being overweight.
So therefore, Kathleen, you and I were in agreement.
Yeah, I know, I've just tripped up there, haven't I?
First for football, for 50 years, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Still with us, going strong as ever, Hugh Keevans.
Do you know why Richard Park hired me?
Tell us.
I did an interview with Richard based on a book that I had written on the history of the Scottish Cup, and the following week I started a work here, and 30 years later I was told that Richard Park had listened back to the programme and said, do you know what, that guy's got a weird voice, bring him in. So I was hired because I had a weird voice, not because of any broadcasting ability. And before you say it, I may not yet have any broadcasting ability, but I was hired because Richard Park said I had a weird voice.
Ah, you're getting there. You are getting there. Don't you worry. What about your teaser knowledge, though? That's not improved over the
Kenny's
years.
On fire.
Can you
with
name
this one?
The last five players to wear number 10 for Celtic and the last five for Rangers? You've got Stephen Davis, Barry Mackay, and Ovi Ejaria. You've got Albin Ayeti and Moussa Dembele.
Fortuny.
Yes, Marc-Antoine Fortuny.
And Stokes.
Yes. One more Celtic to get, two more Rangers. I think you should get certainly. I mean, I'm thinking both of them, both the Rangers ones. I think would have been your.
How far back?
Your last spell, however many you had.
Try to think who it would have been.
Yeah, round about then. Anyway,
so we've got Barry Mackay. So that was at that point. I'm trying to think who was before him.
I feel like all three of these players were kind of there at the same time. I mean, they can't obviously. Must, you know, give or take.
Just took the number off the next one they all left.
And the Celtic one. Oof, good luck. Good luck to you.
I mentioned him in that little clip there. It's not Evander Snow, is it?
No, it's much more recently than that. But it is difficult, I have to say. Right, before we go any further, let's finish the show with this.
Clyde One. 50 years as Glasgow and the West's number one.
Baby, you Clyde 261. All together now. Sing it to me.
Yes, happy birthday to this radio station on Hogmanay. It turns 50, as you've been hearing all week. And to mark that occasion, we've been looking at some of Scottish football's top moments over that 50-year period. And we've been asking the pundits to pick their standout moment from that 50 years, for whatever reason, just their opinion. It's not a definitive list. It's not even in numerical order. But we've had some great shouts this week. We've had a couple of good Scotland ones, of course. David Marshall and boogieing in Serbia and all that stuff from Gordon DL. Last night we had the invincible treble, and it was the quadruple treble, sorry, from Charlie Mulgrew on Wednesday. Kenny Miller is in the hot seat tonight. 50 years, what would you go for?
I think Helicopter Sunday's got to be up there.
Okay.
Got to be right up there for a number of reasons. Again, you're talking about title races potentially this season. Well, that goes absolutely down to the wire, and right at the last minutes of the game, the helicopter has to change direction and head to a different stadium. So I think when you're winning league titles in that way, it's always going to be remembered. And when you say Helicopter Sunday, you know exactly where you're going.
Well, that's it, Hugh. That kind of blockbuster moment. A lot of these on your list I wasn't witness to, but I was there at that one in the stand as a young boy at Fir Park. And yeah, that's a fair shout for the list, isn't it?
Well, you know, Rangers Celtic won up at Fir Park, and it could not get a second goal and missed an absolute pinch to get the second goal. I've never seen Martin O'Neill look the way he did when he came in after that game to the Motherwell press room.
Were you in there?
Oh, I was, yeah. I had tipped Rangers to win the league that season. And I got to...
It's the last time we got a prediction right as well.
I know.
That's why he remembers it.
I got to Fir Park and there was a queue of Celtic fans as you walk up to the front door at Fir Park. Ah, you still think Rangers will win the league? And of course, out of the blue.
And I'm sure you didn't mention it again 20 years on, 18 years on.
I just remember Scotty McDonald, you know, he was such a Celtic fan as well. And his family in Australia, all big Celtic fans. But a man's got to do what a man's got to do when Motherwell are paying your wages. And Terry Butcher, of course, the Motherwell manager that day. So it was, what a day it was.
Motherwell at home with the black strip with a claret band across it. There we go. Anyway, that's a good shout. That's you got your first five. We'll keep that going. We'll come up with a 10 before the big birthday for this radio station on Hogmanay. We are almost done, but let's not forget what tomorrow has in store. Rangers fans and Motherwell fans, wait till Christmas Eve. We've given Celtic against Livy a good preview as well. I mean, I think, you know, everywhere you look, Ross County, I just keep looking at them at the moment because I don't know what Derek Adams is thinking. You've got Hearts against St Mirren. Is that the battle for third now? Is that what we're calling that? Hibs would have something to say there. Kelly St Johnson and Dundee Aberdeen.
The general public, and I think I know the general public where Scottish football is concerned, will hope that Hibs turn over Ross County because of what Derek Adams said. It's just the way people are.
And then tune into the post-match.
Yeah, and see if he compares Hibs to Morecambe. So obviously that's an important one. Dundee Aberdeen, fascinating. Aberdeen got their 2-1 win eventually over Livingston. They have to keep climbing that table. Dens Park will be difficult for them. And the old geography teacher, Kilmarnock against St Johnstone, Craig Levine. He had nothing to offer against Rangers, really. But to be fair to him, he has taken St Johnstone in the right direction. But it'll be a tough afternoon for him at Rugby Park.
Yeah, looking at Hearts and Hibs as well, if we're going to do that thing in the Glasgow version where everyone gets ahead of themselves, Hibs and Hearts want to get to that one, you know, in good form, make sure they don't go in with negative feelings behind them.
Well, they've certainly obviously picked up Stephen Naismith's been in a decent enough run of form and reclaimed that third spot back that they probably should be in alongside Aberdeen competing for it. But Hibs there, I mean, they're no too far behind. You know,
no,
it's
not
really, really tight
enough
in the middle of that table there. So it's an opportunity. Let's see if they get through the next fixture or two, Hibs could jump them.
Right, we need two more of the last five Rangers number 10s and one more Celtic.
I'm going to need clues. I'm toiling here.
Right, so there's one.
The Nicky Clark wear?
No, there's a Scottish. There is a Scottish Rangers one though. He also started his career at Livy. Good career down south, West Brom, etc.
Oh, Graham Dorans.
Graham Dorans. The Celtic one, I think. Is it Watford? Was it Watford? One of these many sort of.
Oh, Bio.
Yes,
is it Bio.
Bio. What? Remember him, Hugh?
Oh yeah. Hopeless he was.
And here's your niche clue for the last Rangers one, and I hope I've got the right guy because it's going to be really annoying if I haven't. In a way that only Scottish football can do, there was some sort of manufactured controversy because he tried to flick the ball over an Alloa player's head.
Oh, Nathan Odua.
Nathan Odua, there we go. Thank you to Hugh Keevans and to Kenny Miller. Big show tomorrow. I'm actually gutted to be missing it. Andrew McLean is going to be here looking after you all. Big games tomorrow, then looking ahead to Christmas Eve. I will, I guess, speak to you after Christmas at this rate. I feel quite emotional. I don't want to miss you all over the festive period. A big Merry Christmas for me. Hope you have as good a time as possible. I know it's not always easy for everyone to have the brilliant time that it seems like pressure has put on you to have. But there we go. Have as good a time as you can. I hope it's a good one. I'll speak to you after Christmas. Andrew McLean has you tomorrow, and the GBX is up next.